I'm Allison Rose Levy. I'm here with you every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. In our program, we look at the connections to our personal health from our total health environment, and that means the health of our food, water, air, the health of our communities, the health of our society, and the health of our habitat, planet Earth. Every week on Connect the Dots, we look at all of these connections, highlighting different facets of the things going on in our world that impact your and my health. For over two decades, I've been a health journalist, a leading journalist of the integrative health movement, as well as reporting on the environment, food, fracking, and a whole range of other issues that you'll hear on our show every week. And you can check out our archives where we've had a number of really terrific guests. And we have great guests today who are repeat visitors and some of my favorite people, as well as a lot of terrific people in upcoming weeks, which I'll highlight later in the show. So every week I begin with an action for you to do. It's a way for you easily to take action on a given issue that's recommended. If you're bombarded by too many emails, you can also listen to this show and take action on the various things that I mention every week in our cause moment here at the beginning of the show, and then we go on to our guests for those who are listening for the first time. So today's action is very simple. Vote. Register to vote. The registration is ending very soon in many states. If you need to get an absentee ballot, get that and do vote. I know that a lot of people feel very discouraged about the meaning of our votes, and obviously there's a lot of things going on which you'll hear on many programs on the Progressive Radio Network that, you know, lead us to really question how much our vote counts, how much our influence counts. But I was just out at the Bioneers Conference in Marin County in San Francisco this past weekend. And one of the things that we talked about is how to maintain our energy to contribute and fight and change and transform things as people who care, as activists, as people who want to protect health, water, food, children, the earth, and the sanity of our society. And one of the things that really comes up is it is natural. In fact, it's facing reality. In some ways, to really see what we are dealing with and to be realistic about it. And sometimes, you know, that's appropriate to worry and even be pessimistic. At the same time, if we hang back, things are only going to, they're not going to get better if we do that. So it really becomes a matter of proceeding with realism, but some hope that we can, through various ways, make a change happen. And so that means both in terms of our attitudes, in terms of staying informed, and in terms of taking action. So, you know, rather than giving up completely, because nothing is going to happen if we do that. So I invite you to participate in the democratic process, so-called, no matter how flawed at this point in time, because even though the leaders that we've had are very imperfect and we really could use better ones, and the system that we're dealing with has many flaws and problems. There's still detours in the road. We're taking one turn, could be worse than another. And that's about as far as I'll be going into it today. So please do participate in the upcoming election. And, you know, if you want to poll watch, if you want to drive others, if you want to help get out the vote, if you want to assist people who may be deterred by actions against legitimate Americans and legitimate voters, please do that as well. And now we'll go on to the main part of the show. There's another thing coming up in this upcoming election in just a couple of weeks. That I've covered repeatedly on the show, so if you've listened in the past, I'm sure you're aware of it, if you're a savvy Progressive Radio listener, and that is the GMO labeling campaign that's going on in the state of California. It's called the California Right to Know Initiative. There's a item, Proposition 37, which is on the ballot in California, giving California voters the right to determine simply whether their foods should be labeled so that they can know and make their own choice about whether they wish to eat or to what extent they are eating foods that contain genetically modified organisms. Now, if you're not informed about GMOs, you'll learn more in today's show. And if you're not, whether you're in California or not in California, this vote affects you. And we'll talk more about that on the show with today's guests. I am delighted and honored to welcome to Connect the Dots my two dear friends, colleagues and cohorts, Dave Murphy and Lisa Stocky. They are the founding co-directors of Food Democracy Now, a terrific grassroots movement of more than 350,000 farmers and citizens dedicated to reforming food, agriculture, and environmental policies in the U.S. In addition, Dave is the co-chair of Prop 37, the California Right to Know campaign to label genetically engineered food, as well as the founder, and he's the executive director of Food Democracy Now. So we'll be talking with them in today's program. Welcome to Connect the Dots, Dave and Lisa, and thank you so much for being with us right as you're in the throes of the last phases of the effort prior to the election.
Great to be with you, Allison. Very much appreciate the opportunity to be on. It's excellent to hear from you guys.
Yeah, it's great. So let's just begin with, I just want to ask you, why should Proposition 37, be of interest to everyone, not just people in California?
Well, sure, for everyone who eats, the fact that roughly 70 to 80% of the processed food in America contains genetically engineered ingredients, and it's something that most Americans aren't aware of, because of the politically engineered loophole that occurred 20 years ago under the first Bush administration with Dan Quayle and Michael Taylor. Michael Taylor is a former Monsanto attorney who helped write a regulation called substantial equivalence that stated that genetically patented genes that were genetically engineered in the laboratory would take the foreign DNA from the viruses, bacteria, plants and animals and artificially insert them in a laboratory into the genes of a new plant or a new animal are basically what they said. There's substantially equivalent or no material difference between those crops and those that farmers had planted for 10,000 years. Mm-hmm. The real problem is it's a new science, and during the same time, the 1990s, when they were trying to decide what the right regulatory policy was, the FDA's own scientists said that there are real possible harms from the new science, increased possible allergens and toxins from these foods. The real question is, do Americans have a right to know what they're eating in their food? And already 61 other countries around the world have determined that, yes, their citizens have that right. All of Europe and even progressive nations like Russia and China have the right to know their food's genetically engineered. Oddly, because of the power of the biotech industry and Monsanto, Americans have been denied that right in California. Prop 37, the battle to win Prop 37, labeled genetically engineered foods on November 6th, is probably one of the most important votes that Americans will cast this year, the 2012 election. In my estimation, more important than the president. As you already know, we already have two biotech guest men running for president.
Wow. And, some people, so the idea then is when the vote comes through in California, it's not just going to affect California. It's also going to affect the labeling of foods nationwide. So what goes on in California is not just symbolic pushback to GMOs or to the industries that are kind of toying with health, but it's also actually affects labeling everywhere else. Is that the case, Dave, or to what extent would that be true?
Absolutely. California is the eighth largest economy in the world, and if companies have to label food packages in California, which is over 30 million people, most likely they're going to consider the idea of labeling everywhere. If you pass it in California, it'll put a lot of pressure on the feds in Washington, D.C. to finally step up to the plate and try to create a national labeling standard for genetically engineered foods. And if California goes, Washington's going to will pass it, Oregon will pass it, Vermont and Connecticut will pass it. The last year alone, 19 states tried to pass a common sense labeling law on genetically engineered foods. Unfortunately, the biotech industry lobbyists came in at the last minute in every case and threatened to sue their governors and their state if they did this in order to protect their corporate profits.
So this is a form of protectionism, really, and the assumption being that if people merely have the right to know what's in their food, then their concern is it could make a dent in their sales, because some people would, once they're informed, they might choose not to eat those foods. And even, you know, there might be people who would blithely continue eating those foods and never even look at the labels. You know, and people might make their own choices about favorite foods, what they want to do. Not everyone is as big a health maven as some of us are. But they don't even want anyone to know, because there could be some dent. I mean, are we talking about a little dent in their profits, or maybe a big dent if more people really realized how widespread and in what foods there were GMO food substances?
Yeah, in my estimation, it's absolutely impossible to forward project what the impact will have on their profits. Mm-hmm. And it's also irrelevant. I mean, they're denying Americans a basic democratic right based on their fears, their irrational fears that Americans won't choose to eat those products. We have, I mean, the same industry, the junk food industry, that's fining us with $35 million, or now $40 million, Coke, Pepsi, Nestle, Kraft, Kellogg's, and all their, you know, friends that have created the obesity epidemic with junk food. They whined, you know, 30 years ago when they wanted to put calories and fat content on the packages, saying that they would lose profits. Well, clearly they didn't. In my estimation, Americans care more about Kim Kardashian and Dancing with the Stars than they do the food they eat. If they didn't, we wouldn't have a national obesity epidemic. But, you know, I think it's a reasonable and common sense thing to give Americans a basic right to know what's in their food. And the irrational fears of a few biotech and chemical companies shouldn't stand in our way.
Now, one of the things that they are claiming is that the concern over GMO foods, even though, as you point out, throughout the world, they're banned in many places, they're labeled wherever they exist, you know, no one has the sort of mafia lockdown on, you know, giving them to people without either scientific study or fair warning that we have here. But nevertheless, part of the industry pushback against the campaign and the reason, you know, they're spending all of this millions of dollars, as you point out, is they're saying that the concern over the health impact of GMO foods is itself irrational. And yet I'm looking at some studies and other material pulled together by an Australian scientist named Heidi Stevenson, and she's quoting some English studies. And I just want to read this for, you know, someone thinks that we're talking about something that, oh, well, we're all eating it, it must be okay kind of thing. According to the University of Canterbury's Center for Integrated Research in Biosafety, they're looking at wheat, GMO wheat products. And here's what the scientist says. Quote, what we found is that the molecules created in this wheat, intending to silence wheat genes, you know, which is part of the genetic manipulation, can match human genes, and through ingestion, these molecules can enter human beings and potentially silence our genes. The scientists further note, the findings are absolutely assured. There is no doubt that these matches exist. So in other words, when you go without a proper study, you know, adjusting genes in these food products and agricultural products, and then animals and people eat them, then actually these foods may be, you know, the whole thing about gene silencing, let me just explain, is basically, you know, when researchers, scientists began looking into the genome, which is, you know, the whole host of genes that the human being has, they expected that there would be hundreds of thousands of genes. And in fact, they're only, 23,000 or thereabouts, almost the same as what a mouse would have. So far from thinking that there'd be a gene for this and a gene for that, and now we can make medicines using all these genes, for targeting them for different things, what they actually found out is that humans really have a relatively small number of genes, and, for all of the complexity of who we are biophysically and everything. But what really is key is how the genes turn on and off. So while mutations are certainly a concern, really it's whether genes are silenced or woken up and how they function that really is key to everything in how we develop physiologically, how we sustain and maintain and have health or the lack of health or illness. To have a random product that you've eaten, of course, foods do turn on and off our genes. When we eat high fructose corn syrup, this affects the insulin cycle. Phytonutrients from plants, the kinds of healthy things like curcumin, which is in turmeric, which also have an effect, turning our genes on and off. The thing is that, and this means that we optimize certain functions and we kind of lower other ones. So, for example, you don't want to be turning on genes for inflammation. You don't want to be turning on genes for autoimmunity. So when you have random food products silencing genes, they could be silencing genes we need to function to live, And so this is not something that, we would want to be playing Russian roulette with for the sake of our health. It could create digestive problems. It could create a whole host of unpredictable problems. And yet, as you're pointing out, it was not initially studied, nor is it studied now by the government. And therefore, this is really, playing a game and conducting an experiment. Is there evidence of, particular categories of health problems from the use of these foods, Dave? Or Lisa, for that matter. Do either of you have any, have you looked at any evidence of that? Are there particular health problems that are more rampant now that could be linked to this?
Well, yeah, I guess I'll try and speak to that a little bit. And I guess I'm thinking primarily we had an event in San Francisco last week in which I invited scientist Ignacio Chapala to come of UC Berkeley, who's a researcher. And he's the individual who found genetically engineered maize in Mexico. And when he blew the whistle on this or talked about it, he shouldn't say it only if he realized he was blowing the whistle, but felt that it was his, his obligation to report this. And, of course, GMO maize is not even approved in Mexico. So therefore, as a scientist, he underwent years and years of, scrutiny and defamation in the public. He survived this. But the reason I'm bringing him up is because he said that he is now having his students come to him and say, I have this issue and I have that issue, whether it be diabetes. I was diagnosed with diabetes. And what about heart disease? What about cancer? And his response to his students is that he says, I don't know. And he said, and the reason I don't know, the reason I can't tell you as a scientist and a researcher for certainty is because we are not allowed to study these things. Mm-hmm. And there's two problems here. One problem is that, as a lot of us know now, are becoming more aware of, and as David alluded to earlier, that the seeds have now become a patented technology. Mm-hmm. And therefore, when you have a patent on it, of course, the idea is that they want to say they're the same, right? Like David noted, substantially equivalent. Mm-hmm. So they don't need to be labeled. But then also at the same time, they're saying, no, they're so special. They're so different that they deserve a patent. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we deserve to make money. Mm-hmm. And so, and we own these seeds. And so you cannot research them. You can't study them. Anything that you do and find out about it is patented information. It's special information. And so researchers are not given access to study these seeds. Mm. And so therefore, they're also, not allowed to study them, their impact on humans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as many on the other side of this debate have pointed out, you know, no one's gotten sick, no one's died, you know, however you want to look at it, as far as what we would characterize as a human problem, quote unquote, mm-hmm. We don't really know that because people are eating them every day. And, of course, you know, just common sense, you have to kind of wonder. You say, well, gosh, you've had a huge increase in cancer. You mentioned inflammation. Inflammation can bring about all kinds of issues, you know, in the body, you know, from heart disease to diabetes and probably all kinds of things we don't know. You know, but really, I think, you know, a lot of people who want to have genetically engineered foods labeled are those individuals that are on the side of the precautionary principle. Mm-hmm. And as I talk with a lot of scientists, they say, you know, it's entirely possible and likely that science really hasn't caught up yet so that we even know really what to look for. We're just, as you pointed out, we're just learning about genetics and DNA. And so, you know, what if we find out a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that this is what has been harming us all along? If our food is not labeled, and there's individuals that say, I have this problem, and they're eating certain foods, they would have really no way to know. Mm-hmm. And the good thing to point out, you know, as a mother, I have 4 children, and I've always avoided GMO foods for them. Foods that I know that likely contain GMOs, I should say, whether, you know, it has high fructose corn syrup or soybean oil or cotton oil or canola oil or sugar beets. Those are the top 5 genetically engineered crops. Mm-hmm. I avoid those things for them unless they are organic mm-hmm. because, of course, organic foods cannot have genetically, you know, they cannot contain ingredients that were produced by genetic engineering. So, you know, the whole point of this is that we need to know. We need to know. There's kids that have peanut allergies now. Do we know if it's because of some sort of genetic engineering, pesticides? You know, we don't know. And these crops, of course, are largely created to withstand pesticide spray. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole host of problems, which would be a whole other show to talk about. The issues with Roundup and glyphosate, which is what these crops are being sprayed with.
Mm-hmm. So that's, but that is part of the total picture, is the use
yes.
of the pesticide. That's part of what comes along for the ride. You know, it's interesting what you say. Actually, also at this Bioneers conference, Carolyn, it's actually one of the two of the people who were part of the Wingstead Statement group that created the precautionary principle concept many years back are Kenny Aucible, who is the co-director of Bioneers, this great environmental conference that I recommend people check out. You know, maybe you'll like to find out about it, listen to some of the videos and tapes and DVDs and all that they have of the terrific speakers who were there, and people can go to bioneers.org, and that's just like pioneers but with a B. But running that conference is Kenny Aucible. Also speaking this last weekend, whom I heard, is Carolyn Raffensperger, and they helped formulate the precautionary principle. And you know, one of the things that Carolyn Raffensperger emphasized in speaking of it, and I just heard her 2 days ago, is that when we don't have the science, that's when we take a step back and are more cautious. And so if you have a situation like what you described, Lisa, where the science wasn't done originally, now people are refusing to, saying that if you study it, you're violating my patent. I don't think the point of patenting is to just unleash anything whatsoever without first ascertaining its impact on people, and then later to say, well, now it's ensconced as a profitable entity, an intellectual property, and no study can be done. So, you know, this is where the precautionary principle, I mean, I think that's very, very distorted, as you mentioned, and very contradictory, but also that's exactly where we need the precautionary principle. When we, for reasons like this, do not have the complete science, that's where we have to step back and say, since we don't know, we should be extra careful. Obviously, this has been going on for 2 decades. We haven't been extra careful. But by labeling, at least it gives people a choice.
Yeah, you are exactly right. And I should probably also point out for your listeners that while there have not been any studies done on this on humans, as the FDA ordered in the 80s and the early 90s when this technology was really beginning to emerge, the FDA scientists asked for these studies. They were not conducted for reasons that David pointed out earlier. There have been a lot of studies done, like on lab rats, and a lot of people are looking at and talking about the most recent study that was released a few weeks back, by a French scientist by the name of Saralini, and David could probably talk about that a little bit more. But that was the longest study that's ever been conducted, a 2-year study on the effect of genetically engineered seeds and Roundup on lab rats, and the results were absolutely alarming. It was premature death. It was tumors, specifically mammary tumors in females. Mm-hmm. And so there are these studies that are done. Another scientist, John Fagan, along with a couple of his colleagues, compiled 650 studies that point to human and environmental risks. Putting it mildly, and concerns with genetic engineering. And that can be found at Earth Open Source, and it's called GMO Myths and Truths. Mm-hmm. And I would invite anybody who has any questions about these to take a look at those studies mm-hmm. for themselves. So those studies have been conducted, and that gives us enough reason right there to adopt the precautionary principle. I mean, it's simply insanity, you know, that we continue to go down this path. It's very diabolical what these corporations have done to our food supply and subsequently to our children and the future of our health.
Mm-hmm. And now they are as through Proposition 37. The effort is made to kind of retroactively finally allow people to know through labeling. They have been pushing back in a big, big way. You know, what can you tell us, Dave or Lisa, about the kind of pushback that they have been, you know, you had 1 million people sign petitions to put this on the ballot so they could vote on this in the state of California. There are a lot of health-oriented people out there. And 1 million signatures, 1 million citizens put this on the ballot. And you know, I've seen studies that basically say that, you know, something like 85-90% of people want the right to know, would prefer to make the choice themselves. And that's why that's one of the reasons that the initiative is labeled the California Right to Know. It's about that right, not about what choice you may choose to make with that information. But industry apparently doesn't want people to have that right, and they have undertaken a big advertising campaign. Can you tell people about that and what's going on there? Either of you guys? You know,
sorry about that. I was on mute for a second. Well, listen,
okay.
I just want to say, you know, women like Lisa are heroes of mine. You know, everyone should know that's listening that, you know, for the last 20 years, Lisa's traveled 1.5 to 2 hours one way to feed her kids organic food mm-hmm. in Iowa because she can't buy organic food in the small town that where we live. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really heroic effort, and it's the same spirit and concern for the health of your children that the mothers and grandmothers of California helped rally and start this initiative and put it together. And like you say, in the spring, nearly 1 million signatures were gathered by Californians, their mothers and fathers, farmers, nurses and doctors. Everyday Californians went out in the streets for 10 weeks and gathered nearly 1 million signatures. That was almost twice what we needed to be on the ballot in November. There's absolutely a grassroots army and awareness of the fact that our rights are being violated by these giant pesticide and chemical companies who are denying us the right to know what's in our food. Right now, Monsanto has donated $7.1 million to deny Californians and thus Americans their right to know what's in their food. DuPont, the next largest contributor, has donated $4.1 million. I'm sorry, $4.9 million. Together, combined total, the coalition, what they're calling themselves, is against the deceptive food labeling bill, they have contributed more than $40 million to deny Californians and Americans their right to know what's in their food. Mm-hmm. And on this list of shame, all Americans should know the companies that are voting with their dollars against them. Pepsi, $2.1 million. Coca-Cola, $1.4 million. Nestle, $1.3 million. General Mills, $1.1 million. ConAgra, $1 million. Kellogg's, $790,000. Smithfield, $684,000. I just want to say these are companies that fundamentally believe that mothers don't have a right to know what they're feeding their children, even if there's a potential human health risk. And it's an absolute shame. On November 7th and 7th, these companies are going to wake up to a brand new world where the American people are going to start going after their bottom dollar, just like they're trying to steal our rights. It's outrageous. Right now, they're dropping $1 million a day on radio ads and TV ads. They've blanketed the airwaves here in California. The great story is, though, that their leading messenger in their ads is a guy named, quote-unquote, scientist, corporate scientist named Henry I. Miller. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely the first director of biotechnology at the Food and Drug Administration. He is the one that helped write this corrupt regulation of substantial equivalence with Michael Taylor at the FDA in the 1990s, and he helped rush it through. Mm-hmm. He is now their lead spokesman, and he is a quote-unquote scientist at the Hoover Institution, which is the farthest right think tank here in America, where all mm-hmm. the wacko ideas from the Koch brothers are incubated. Mm-hmm. So our good friend Henry Miller believes fundamentally that he worked for a tobacco company think tank in the 80s and 90s, and he said he tried to stop regulations on cigarettes. He also, when Fukushima happened in Japan, he rushed out with a quote to protect the nuclear power industry, and he said that low levels of radiation may be good for humans. This is a guy that they are trotting out as their quote-unquote scientific expert to talk about the safety of GMO foods. This is the best science that money can buy. And the corporate whores in the scientific community need to wake up to the fact the American people are no longer going to sit still and be silent and allow our science to be bought off and paid on for the highest dollar. I mean, we're fighting back here in California tooth and nail. It's the best chance Americans have to win labeling because our political system is rigged, as you mentioned earlier. It is a game of who's up for sale. You know, the problem with no matter who wins the presidency, they'll still be bought and paid for by the biotech industry. There's an article in The Nation that talks about how allegedly Mitt Romney helped Monsanto transition from a chemical company into a biotech company. So the question is if he will be the president that helped the biotech industry win their foothold in taking over America's food supply. And the fact that Barack Obama wins, who I caucused for in Iowa and voted for last time, Barack Obama is the kingpin as a president of helping promote and push through the latest rounds of atrocities of biotech crops that are harmful to our environment and potentially, as the studies are showing, seriously harmful to our health. So what is Monsanto doing today? They're running scared here in California. They've hit the panic button, and they're drowning the airwaves of $7.1 million. The real question we have to ask ourselves, what are they trying to hide from us? If you look into their past corporate malfeasance of DDT and Agent Orange, you should be very afraid. The fact is that they've controlled the scientific study, and they've actually manipulated the data that they submitted to the FDA and to European regulatory agencies. Should be a real concern for the scientific community. Unfortunately, the scientific community only rallies against scientists that point out the flaws in this new technology. That's the tragedy. But we're fighting back here in California, and we expect to win on November 6th.
Let me ask you a question, because I'm always, as someone who's been in the media for from my professional life, I'm always interested in the kind of PR campaigns, like, for example, the phrase natural gas. It's really a PR concoction because there's nothing natural about the entire process of extracting it or anything else. I mean, any form of gas or oil that's coming out of the earth. I mean, you know, so by labeling it natural, it kind of makes people kind of like it. You know, so they, you know, these kind of various phrases and things are used, and they're PR concoctions, and yet people kind of hear it and adopt it, and then it affects their thinking about it. So actually, I think we're going to take a station identification break here, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how they called, you know, their committee, which is spending all the money you described, Dave, is really calling the labeling deceptive, and you know, and how that can turn people's minds around. So let's take a break here. Stay with us, listeners, for the second half of Connect the Dots with Dave Murphy and Lisa Stocky of Food Democracy Now, and more about the GMO California Right to Know Proposition 37 campaign for GMO labeling. Welcome back, listeners, to the second half of Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, here with you every week at Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Today's show, we're talking about GMOs and Proposition 37, the California Right to Know what's in your food through the labeling of GMO foods in food products. I have with me as today's guest once again Dave Murphy and Lisa Stocky of Food Democracy Now. And Dave is also the chairman of the campaign and co-chairman of the campaign in California. And we'll be talking more about how you can get involved in this second segment. As we ended the first segment, we were talking about the sort of misinformation. Dave detailed for us, and if you missed the first half of the show, you can always go back and listen to it in the Connect the Dots archives. But Dave was detailing for us all of the different major food and agricultural conglomerates that are contributing millions of dollars to preventing, you know, trying to advertise and convince people that they don't need to adopt the precautionary principle and know what's in their food, despite the fact that most people, the majority of people, want to. So in the first half, we were talking about all the money they've contributed and who these organizations are. And now let's just talk a little bit about how they're spreading misinformation and what they're telling people. From the very start, they have called this a campaign to or a committee to address deceptive labeling. You know, what's deceptive? I mean, what, you know, the minute you hear that term, you immediately become worried or frightened. I mean, what are they telling people, and what's the merits of what they're actually telling the public in these ads and everything?
Well, the merits are, the merits of what they're telling people in their ads is very low. I mean, it's the same kind of lies that they told the world to get Agent Orange and DDT, that they were safe. You know, right now they're trying to confuse the California voter, and they, again, $40 million against our right to know. It's pretty significant.
But what are they actually saying? I mean, what is it? What are they claiming? What are they, you know, what are they trying to get people to believe?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, they're trying to say it's going to cost an extra $300 to $400 for your average California citizen to buy food because this bill passes. I mean, that's absolutely hogwash, and they have no evidence to prove it, minus a cooked-up study that they paid for by one of their quote-unquote independent studies from UC Davis professor, which UC Davis is basically a university that takes a lot of money from Monsanto and DuPont and Syngenta to do research on biotech crops. So they pulled out of thin air an idea that it would cost California voters $300 extra each year. But in reality, the California Legislative Analyst Office, which is the office in California that analyzes every proposal legislatively or legally that comes before it that may impact regulators, people that implement and oversee the implementation of the bills, they say it will cost between 1 cent to 3 cents per Californian. So widely, almost, you know, 10,000 times as much. The other side is saying that it would cost. So once it'll cost, if you want a right to know what's in your food in California, it'll cost you 1 cent. I have to say, I think my rights are worth more than 1 or 3 cents. And then we have an independent a study that was done by Joanna Shepherd Bailey from Emory University Law School, and she said it would be $1.24 for a lifetime to pay for the implementation and monitoring of labeling of GMO foods. The other thing they say, basically, is that it will have it'll negatively impact grocery stores. It'll be these frivolous losses. For some reason, Monsanto, which has specialized in the last 15 years in suing farmers for frivolous patent infringement lawsuits when their patent and genetically engineered pollen blows across their fence, somehow they're trying to convince the California voters that passing this bill, a simple labeling bill, will somehow lead to an explosion in lawsuits and will be harmful to businesses. But you know, as we've already learned, 61 other countries implement basic labeling laws on genetically engineered foods all over the world, mm-hmm. and they have no problem with implementing it, no problem with lawsuits. Mm-hmm. The fact is, Monsanto is running scared, and they're trying to deny Californians the right to know what's in their food. They don't have any basis for any of the numbers that they're pulling out of thin air. It's mm-hmm. just, I mean, it's like the old tobacco scare tactics. Well, I mean, in tobacco, the cases, they said everything's fine. There's no harm to it from tobacco or cigarettes. 30 years later, we learned the truth. And interestingly enough, the guy that filed, the lawyer, the lobbyist that filed the arguments against Prop 37 with the state, Tom Hilichick, he actually worked as a lobbyist for Philip Morris in the 80s and 90s. So they have literally the tobacco industry front groups and scientists, the fraudulent corporate scientists that try to tell you that tobacco and cigarettes are safe, are the same people that are lined up now against mothers and grandmothers here in California. If we had a free press that would tell the truth, it is almost a story worthy of a Pulitzer Prize. Mm-hmm. But apparently the California media and the national media is a little scared to tell the truth about what's happening there on the ground in California.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the California press, I mean, I know you have the independent media is covering you without a doubt, but you're saying like the LA Times and all of that, they're not telling the story.
Well, they actually had, they came out and they endorsed the no side.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
They endorsed what? What did they endorse? I'm not clear about what you just said.
They endorsed against us.
Really?
Yeah.
And what was the rationale for that?
Well, they believe the lies of the biotech industry. They believe that it will harmful, you know, lawsuits could lead to increasing costs. I mean, Michelle Simon has a really good article. I think it's on Huffington Post mm-hmm. and also on Center for Food Safety's website and her own website, Appetite for Profit, where she goes through and debunks the endorsements from the California, major California newspapers. Mm-hmm. And she talks about how they basically just regurgitated the no side's talking points ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. And they get it wrong. I mean, they absolutely get it wrong. Major newspapers got this wrong, and it's mm-hmm. pretty embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they get it wrong because due to conflict of interest. Is that why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, so because these are advertisers and all of this. So, you know, everybody is kind of on the take because they are, you know, they accept advertising, like, you know, from Coke and Pepsi and all the food groups that you're talking about. And so, you know, it has been very underreported. I mean, I haven't seen it much on MSNBC even, you know. Any entity, you know, that takes advertising, I mean, and we don't, you know, we don't have a mechanism for supporting media publicly without advertising. So, you know, we have an inherent problem right there. And getting the information out, which is why, you know, places like Progressive Radio or, you know, and others are so important. Well, I think you've given us a real terrific picture. And also, just, you know, because I know that you know, we're kind of moving ahead to toward the end of the show here, but are there opportunities for people that are not in California who are concerned about this issue, who are listening to this program, who've been following this with concern and would like to see labeling? Is there something that people that don't live in California can do to participate?
Absolutely. You can get on Food Democracy Now. We paid for a service to make it easy for people to get involved. They can get on, go to the California website and California Right to Know or yes on 37.org and and sign up to phone bank. We've had over almost 800 people sign up to phone bank this week alone. We sent out a big push to our members yesterday, and 800 people have signed up to phone bank to call registered California voters. So this is a pretty exciting way to get for people that don't live in California, won't be able to vote and can't donate, can donate some of their time to make sure that we pass GMO labeling. Period.
Okay, so yes on 37.org, and you can participate just the way you do in elections and other things. You can help get the vote out. You know, what are you showing in terms of the numbers? Do you think you've reached enough people? Do you think people are aware of this? Are the people who are in favor of labeling holding strong, or are they being, is there conviction being undermined by this millions of dollars in corporate advertising? What do you think in that regard is happening?
Well, apparently money talks, and that's why there's a multi-billion dollar advertising industry to convince us of all the things that we don't need to eat, that we're eating, Coke, Pepsi, Nestle products, don't ever need to eat another one of them again. They fundamentally don't believe in your rights to know what's in your food. But, you know, the fact is early polling had us ahead 67 to 22 or 61% to 25%. Mm-hmm. And since the first polling that had the last, with 10 days of advertisement, $1 million a day, showed that we dropped down to 48% yes, and 40 against us. So, you know, advertising does work, but essentially you can only carpet bomb lies into the American people or the California voters so much, and eventually they begin to be suspicious. Why are these companies spending so much money to hide from us this basic right that citizens in 61 other countries, including such progressive human rights and civil rights countries as China and Russia, allow their citizens the right to know what's in their food. Apparently, Californians don't have the right same right as the former communist country, Russia and China. It's almost laughable. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be absurd if it weren't the stakes weren't so high.
You know, there's a parallel here too, because you know, I began the show by urging people to vote and talked about the upcoming presidential election for all our listeners. And you know, Greg Palast, who's been a guest on this show and will appear again, we are hoping, sometime in the next coming months and all of that, has written a book called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy: Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, How to Steal an Election in 9 Easy Steps. And he's a, you know, a friend of ours and a friend to the show. And you know, he's basically showing how money, average campaign ads and all the rest of it, you know, voter fraud, you know, shutting, keeping people off the rolls, tampering with voter machines and a whole range of other things can influence the upcoming presidential election. And this is, you know, an exact kind of parallel. I don't know that you actually have machine tampering in California, but this is how, you know, money can talk. So the only answer to money, that money talking, is people walking. And so that means, you know, participation. It means that we have to participate. And, you know, it's just like any kind of issue. It's like if you have any health concern, and I know this as a health coach, which is another side of my offering, you know, you don't want to treat a problem when it's become, you know, a huge major illness. You want to treat the, you know, the symptoms. You want to get involved as soon as possible. And when it, if things have progressed and you do have an illness, then you have to be more aggressive. So unfortunately, what you're detailing is that things have progressed. So we may have been laying back, and it may have been scary, and that's why people, you know, maybe don't get involved, or they think someone else will do it, or something else they're doing is more important than their food and the health of their food supply. But as things get worse, it becomes we need to be more aggressive, and that means more people need to get involved and really participate. Or we'll just be bought and sold and have all of the manifold health problems, not only physical health, but psychological health, mental health, well-being. This is an intense time to live in, you know. So, it's great that people can get involved. And, you know, I hope many of our listeners will step up, because if you care about this, this is really a way to participate. Through the phone banks and all the rest of it. You can do it from wherever you are. This affects pets, too, doesn't it? I mean, it also affects animal food. Because there's healthy and unhealthy ingredients in animal foods as well. Will they be labeled for people who have pets?
Yeah, they will. So the other side, curiously enough, is running around screaming that, you know, dog food will be labeled, but a steak won't. Oh, my God, a steak won't be labeled. That's because the intent of the initiative is to label foods that have been genetically engineered. Currently, there are no genetically engineered cows on the market.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are, they'll be labeled. And dog food is actually covered under a law, the Sherman Act, which regulates it as a food. So that's why dog food will be labeled. So pet owners, if they don't want GMOs for their pets, they can avoid them. It's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make it easy to comply with. And easy to enforce.
Mm-hmm. So once again, that's yeson37.org. So Dave, I think we're nearing the point where you have to sign off for us. Is that correct? Because I know you've got back-to-back engagements. You've been in debates. You're doing so much terrific work. Thank you so much for David Murphy and Lisa Stocky for being with us today on Connect the Dots. Good luck with the Right to Know campaign, and more than good luck. I hope our listeners will help you.
Thank you so much for having us on. It's a real pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you so much
for covering this.
Yeah, I'm so happy too. So let me just say a little bit about what you guys, listeners, can do. You can donate to fooddemocracynow.org and support this terrific work of this great group. You can also find a lot of information. You can they have links to Heroes and Zeros scorecards so that you can see the people, the companies that are trying to tamper with our food, the healthy food companies that are trying to support this initiative, and the people who are kind of sitting on their hands. You can find all of that on fooddemocracynow.org. You can also go to carighttoknow.org and participate, learn more, and follow them. You can follow me at healthjournalistblog.com for e-zines and articles, as well as following me on Alternet and Huffington Post, and on Facebook on Connecting the Dots for Health. And once again, you can participate in phone banks by going to yeson37.org. Thank you so much, listeners, for being with me this week. I'm Allison Rose Levy on Connect the Dots, and we'll be back with you in coming weeks. We'll have John Perkins and some other terrific guests featuring the upcoming Green Festivals in L.A. and San Francisco. So please stay tuned next week to the Progressive Radio Network for Connect the Dots at 10 a.m. Eastern Time every Wednesday. Have a great week.